Hello everyone, and welcome to today's lecture on enabling value co-creation through digital service design. By definition, service design can be referred to as a human-centered, holistic, and a creative approach to developing and enhancing services. It focuses on more than just the final outcome. It involves carefully planning and organizing every component of the service experience. This includes people, infrastructure, communication channels, and material elements. And what's the ultimate goal? To facilitate high-quality interactions between the service provider and its customers. Now, what makes service design particularly versatile is that it can be applied not only to designing entirely new services, but also to improving existing ones. This adaptability is essential in a world where customer needs and technologies are constantly evolving. One crucial concept here is, of course, the service concept, which could be thought of as the blueprint that defines the how and the what of the design service. It acts as a bridge connecting customer needs with an organization's strategic goals. For example, Goldstein and colleagues explain how this mediation helps align the experience for both the service user and the provider, ensuring mutual benefit. To bring these ideas into practice, service designers often use a popular design technique called personas. Personas are a great tool that offers service designers a way to better understand the people we are designing for. Unlike abstract user profiles, personas are grounded in research and capture the needs, goals, and behaviors of target users in a relatable, story-driven format. They help design teams focus on the actual experiences of their users, ensuring that the services they create resonate on a deeper level. To construct personas effectively, we start with insights from real users. For instance, Pickner and others proposed the value proposition canvas that maps customer tasks, pains, and gains. First, we examine the tasks, what users aim to accomplish in a given context. For example, a persona for an AI-enabled personal trainer might describe a user who wants to create a sustainable gym routine, track their progress, and receive recommendations tailored to their fitness goals. Identifying these tasks helps us understand the tasks the service must perform for the user. The customer pains, in turn, are the obstacles, frustrations, or challenges that users might face in their current life circles and service use. For our fitness app persona, a user might feel overwhelmed by generic training plans that don't align with their fitness level or time constraints. By understanding these pain points, we can design solutions that directly address user frustrations. Finally, we explore gains, what users hope to achieve or benefit from. Gains often reflect aspirational goals or positive outcomes that the user values. For instance, our fitness app persona might seek better health, increased confidence, or more efficient use of their gym time. By prioritizing these desired outcomes, we can ensure the service enables co-creation of value that resonates. Now that we've discussed personas and how they help us empathize with and understand the users, let's move into the next step of our design process, which is prioritizing features using the Moscow method, for instance. This framework allows us to identify and structure the features or design elements that align most closely with the needs, pains, and gains of our personas. The Moscow stands for must-haves, should-haves, could-haves, and won't-haves. It's a prioritization technique that helps teams focus on delivering the most critical aspects of a service, while at the same time balancing feasibility and resource constraints. Let's break this down, starting with the must-haves. So these are the essential features or functionalities that are non-negotiable. Without them, the service cannot fulfill its core purpose. For example, if we're designing a fitness app for our persona fitness enthusiast, Emma, a must-have might be a real-time progress tracking. Without this feature, the app wouldn't meet Emma's basic expectations of monitoring her workouts efficiently or effectively. Next are the should-haves. These are highly desirable features that add significant value but aren't absolutely essential for the service to function. In our fitness app example, this could be integration with a wearable device like a smartwatch. While not critical, it significantly enhances the user experiences. Then we have the could-haves. These are features that are nice to have, but don't impact the service's usability or core value creation techniques if they're not included. For instance, a social feature that allows Emma to share her fitness milestones on social media, this might fall into this category. It's great for engagement, but not exactly critical to her achieving her fitness goals. Finally, the won't-haves are features that are intentionally deprioritized for the current development cycle. These could be features that are too complex, not aligned with user needs, or simply not feasible given the project's scope and resources that we have available. For example, a virtual reality workout feature might be exciting, but could be unrealistic to implement immediately. And so these considerations of personas and prioritizing service features are very typical methods for service design. And this brings us to a critical part of today's discussion, which is value propositions. The value propositions are the cornerstone of enabling value co-creation in service design. To design services that resonate with users and enable value co-creation, we must develop value propositions that align with their needs, expectations, and aspirations. A value proposition is not merely a description of a product or a service. It's actually a shared promise that defines the roles of both the provider and the user in their way of creating value. It's relational, dynamic, and co-created. For instance, a service provider facilitates value by offering resources, tools, and technologies that users can integrate into their own lives. Users, on the other hand, they create or co-create value by applying these resources in ways that are meaningful to their specific contexts. Skolin et al. Emphasize the importance of aligning value propositions with the ecosystem in which the service operates. To align a value proposition effectively, we begin by understanding users' lives and environments. This means delving into the aspects that we have investigated when creating personas, for instance, such as their tasks, their pains, and their gains, meaning the positive and negative that might emerge for that persona. For instance, imagine when designing a productivity app. Tasks might include managing deadlines or collaborating with a team. The user's pains could involve inefficient communication or difficulty of tracking the progress. Gains might be seamless teamwork and time savings. Once we have this foundational understanding, the next step is to prioritize the service ideas that we want to pursue. Here, categorizing features into must-haves, should-haves, could-haves, and even won't-haves helps us focus on what truly matters. For the productivity app, depending on the design problem that is trying to target, a must-have might be a shared task list, while a should-have could be a calendar integration, and a could-have might be a motivational feature like gamified progress tracking. Finally, we take these insights and develop a statement of offerings, essentially the value proposition. For our productivity app, the value proposition might promise a streamlined tool for team collaboration, helping users achieve their goals efficiently by reducing miscommunication and boosting accountability. The Rescue Club application provides a great real-world example of value proposition that illustrates the concept we've been discussing. This is a platform that helps reduce food waste by connecting consumers with surplus food from restaurants, cafeterias, and grocery stores, or even schools, at discounted prices. The value proposition is simple yet powerful: leave no meal behind. Every month, people like you use Rescue to save tens of thousands of meals from ending up in the trash bin. With a 97% satisfaction rate on all orders, saving the world has never tasted this good. So how does Rescue align with users' tasks, pains, and gains? From the user's perspective, the platform addresses specific tasks like finding affordable meals and discovering new dining options. It alleviates pains such as the frustration of overpaying or food or contributing to environmental harm, for instance. At the same time, it delivers tangible gains such as saving money, enjoying high-quality food, and actively participating in a sustainable lifestyle. At the same time, Rescue serves as a tool to turn restaurants and food businesses' losses into gains. Unsold food portions are transformed into revenue items, and sustainability becomes an integral part of the operations. This dual perspective makes the service's value proposition even stronger, as it connects seamlessly with the needs of both consumers and businesses. So that makes this well-aligned example of how value propositions can enable co-creation, where both users and providers actively contribute to creating value that benefits everyone involved. Dunan and Kasab and Meyer state that digital services should aim to enable value co-creation for users, and this requires a purposeful design of digital-enabled processes. They outline that to do this, these processes should be designed so that they bring together two critical elements: system value propositions and customer value drivers. System value propositions refer to the user behavior-driven aspects that should be considered when defining system requirements and designing service offerings. These are namely social nature of use, construction of identities, and context of use. These aspects ensure that the system aligns with how users behave, their preferences, and the contexts in which they use the service. Essentially, they are both understanding what users do, how they interact with services, and how the system can effectively support and enhance their activities. On the other hand, customer value drivers are the development process-driven aspects, which are called service process experience, participation in service production, and user goals and outcomes. These constructs complement the system value propositions by addressing how the system can support the user's journey and value creation processes. By focusing on the user's behavioral patterns, customer value drivers guide the design of features and processes that actively encourage engagement, satisfaction, and overall co-created value. When combined, the system value propositions and customer value drivers, they form the foundation for value co-creation in digital services. So Tuunanen and colleagues find that bundling these elements allows the service provider to design offerings that don't only meet but also exceed user expectations by enabling meaningful and seamless interaction. Let's now take a closer look at the system value propositions and customer value drivers one by one to see how they can manifest in digital service design and value co-creation in practice. Dornan and Myers and Kasab describe that the social nature of use is one of the foundational system value propositions that drives value co-creation with users. The social nature aspect emphasizes that digital services create value by enabling interaction and collaboration among users. Whether connecting individuals or fostering group dynamics, the service becomes a platform for meaningful exchange that enables value co-creation. For example, consider services like Discord, which was initially designed for gamers, but it now supports communities across various interests. Basically, Discord provides a space where users can chat, collaborate, and share content in real time. This aligns with the theory that digital systems act as mediators in social contexts, where users' social behaviors and interactions are integral to the value derived from the service. As described in the paper, the social nature of use leverages the political ecology of requirements, ensuring that the system design reflects the diverse ways that people engage socially through technology. And the paper presents the construction of identities construct as another key system value proposition. More specifically, the authors highlight how digital services enable users to construct and express their personal and social identities by providing customization and personalization options. This way, digital services can empower users to shape their digital presence in ways that reflect their individuality and social roles. A current example is Spotify, which creates a deeply personalized user experience through features like playlists, listening histories, and even shareable wrapped summaries that reflect a user's unique musical preferences. These tools help users express their identity and share it with their social circles. This practice ties into the social actor theory, which frames users as active participants in shaping their identity through their interactions with technology, of course. Furthermore, the context of use proposition underscores that digital services can help users derive value when they adapt to and align with users' situational, cultural, or environmental contexts. Such contextual factors shape user requirements and influence how systems are ultimately used, often in ways that developers cannot fully predict even. For instance, text messaging technology was not originally designed for end-user communication, and most of the early GSM mobile phones lacked the ability to send text messages. Actually, the first SMS gateways, they were used for network notifications, such as voicemail alerts. But soon the service was adapted to everyday context of users, and that led to text messaging transforming into a revolutionary communication method. And this really showcases how context can redefine a service's purpose and value. As a more recent example, Uber tailors its offerings based on user location and situational needs, whether providing ride-hailing services, food delivery, or package transport. The service dynamically aligns with local demand patterns and user preferences. So context-aware computing is critical in enabling digital services to leverage users' surroundings and environments to enhance relevance and usability. As implications, designers and developers must recognize that situational and cultural contexts can significantly influence user experience, also in ways that go beyond the original system design. This unpredictability reinforces the importance of designing adaptable systems that can evolve alongside the needs and contexts of users' lives. Moving on to user value drivers, Thunen and Myers and Kassab emphasize that the service process experience is a cornerstone driving value co-creation through the design process. It reflects the importance of designing a service that is seamless, reliable, and engaging for users, creating a continuous and immersive experience. The idea is that a well-executed service process reduces disruptions, maintains consistency, and fosters psychological and emotional engagement. For instance, Netflix is a great example of how this can be achieved. The autoplay feature and smooth transitions between episodes create a continuous flow that keeps users immersed in their viewing experiences, and it minimizes their interruptions. The personalized recommendations algorithm enhances this by suggesting content that's tailored to individual preferences, and that fosters a sense of discovery and emotional connection with the service. Netflix implements a microservices architecture which ensures reliability by enabling all the functions such as streaming, search, or playback of the content to operate independently. And this, of course, reduces the likelihood of technical disruptions. Additionally, the platform maintains consistency across devices, allowing users to seamlessly switch from their TV to their phone or tablet without losing their place. This holistic approach exemplifies what the Turunen et al. Paper describes as an engaging and seamless service process. A crucial element here is cognitive absorption, where users become deeply engaged in the service to the point where their interactions feel effortless and satisfying. Netflix's ability to orchestrate technical and experiential elements ensures that the service process is not just functional, but also very enjoyable and smooth. And the participation in service production driver in turn highlights the transformative role users can play as co-creators in shaping their service experiences. Users are no longer passive consumers, but instead they actively contribute to the design, production, or refinement of services. And this results in a more personalized and meaningful outcomes, of course. For example, the interactive Netflix series Black Mirror, it empowered viewers to actively participate in shaping the narrative of the program. Through a series of real-time choices, users were able to determine the direction of the plot, creating a unique and tailored viewing experience. Similarly, crowdfunding platforms like Kickstarter allow users to create products and services by directly funding and influencing the direction of projects that they value. This participation not only empowers users, but also ensures that the final offerings align closely with their expectations and preferences. The integration of SD logic into such frameworks transforms the traditional value creation model, establishing a collaborative process that benefits both users and service providers. Through designed mechanisms like these, co-creation can become a cornerstone of modern digital services, driving value that is co-developed and shared. And finally, the customer goals and outcomes driver emphasizes the importance of designing services that align with users' aspirations and desired states. These goals may be utilitarian, such as efficiency in completing tasks, or hedonic, like social achieving, like achieving a sense of calm, social, such as fostering connections. The IS literature has given much attention to evaluating IS success based on perceived usefulness, but this approach predominantly emphasizes functional benefits. And so less focus has been given to hedonic benefits, meaning those related to pleasure, enjoyment, or emotional well-being, for instance. Unlike traditional trade-offs, where users might sacrifice one attribute for another, like cost for quality, hedonic benefits operate on a different level, often requiring subtle and experiential design interventions that are harder to quantify. For example, the Headspace app is tailored to align with users' aspirations of reducing stress and empowering mental well-being. Through this intuitive design and scientifically validated mediation techniques, the app helps users to achieve outcomes such as improved sleep quality or reduced anxiety. However, the derived value here goes beyond the measurable functional benefits. It goes all the way to the hedonic pleasure of engaging with an aesthetically calming interface. This exemplifies how services can fulfill both functional and hedonic goals simultaneously. So by incorporating such rich insights about consumer trade-offs and recognizing the multidimensional nature of user goals, service designers can create offerings that users perceive as valuable at the hedonic and utilitarian levels alike. Let's now move to the practical and theoretical dimensions of enabling value co-creation through design. So the foundational work by Turunen, Myers and Kasab from 2010 provided us with the conceptual groundwork for understanding system value propositions and customer or user value drivers. Building on this view, in our recent study in Journal of Service Research, we sought to further this understanding by developing theory for value co-creation mechanisms specifically tailored to support digital service design. To do this, we conducted a lettering interview study with 113 participants across five diverse digital service contexts. This included a cyber-physical system for mining, a CRM system, an online event organizing and planning system, and two leisure-oriented systems, and those were the geocaching gaming application and a metal detection system for consumers. By analyzing these B2B and C2C contexts, our goal was to uncover the micro-level mechanisms in the design of these systems that drive value co-creation. To complement the CIS model of Tuonen and others, our analysis identified new constructs that reflected the evolving nature of digital service design and value co-creation. So one significant development was the refinement of values and goals. We observed that this broad category naturally splits into two distinct areas, utility values and goals and hedonic values and goals. Utilitarian captures the functional task-oriented outcomes that users might seek, such as efficiency, accuracy, and productivity. Hedonic values instead represent the experiential, emotional, or pleasure-driven outcomes that contribute to the enjoyment and satisfaction that users might derive from digital services. Additionally, we identified four entirely new constructs that further enrich the design framework. First, we had access to information, which underscores the importance of delivering relevant, timely, and actionable information to users. This reflects the growing user expectation for transparency and real-time insights in their interactions with digital services. Second, customer orientation emerged as a construct highlighting the need for systems to align closely with individual user preferences and priorities, emphasizing a personalized approach to service delivery. The third new construct, decision-making and support, addresses how digital services can aid users in navigating complex choices by providing tools, analytics, and tailored recommendations. This is particularly relevant in B2B contexts where informed decision making is paramount. Finally, reachability and credibility was identified as a critical dimension, encapsulating the ease with which users can access services and trust the information and interactions provided. We then employed the interpretive structural modeling, the ISM approach, to look deeper into the relationships between these identified and also the Tuonen, Myers and Kasap identified concepts. While I won't go deep into the step-by-step technical details of ISM, it is important to understand what this method allowed us to do and why it was crucial for our research. ISM is a quantitative method that can model hierarchical relationships among complex sets of qualitative data. It's particularly valuable when dealing with large interview data sets and complex problems like value creation or co-creation mechanisms in digital services. Because in such complex problems, it's typical that multiple constructs interact in dynamic and often non-linear ways. By using ISM, we could systemically map out and analyze the interdependencies among the identified constructs, and we were able to uncover the structural hierarchy of those constructs. And that means that we could understand which ones were foundational drivers that were influencing others and so on. Such relational insight of the constructs is critical because it can be used to guide service designers in focusing on foundational elements, first to build robust and impactful digital services. So as results, our analysis identified a hierarchical model with several key pathways through which value co-creation unfolds in digital service design. The model showcases that the constructs connect to user values and goals at various levels, encompassing both utilitarian and hedonic drivers. This highlights the diverse ways digital services meet user needs, from functional outcomes to emotional engagement. The emerging pathways were identified, and those were social use, customer orientation and decision-making, service experience, service use context, and customer values and goals. Each of these in their own mechanisms reflect dynamic relationships between different constructs. The social use pathway, for example, showcases the link between the social nature of use and construction of identities. And this highlights how platforms like Instagram enable users to express themselves while building social connections. Similarly, the connection between construction of identities and reliability and credibility ensures users must feel secure in sharing their identity within a trusted environment, as seen in WhatsApp's end-to-end encryption, for instance. The relationship between access to information and reliability and credibility showcases how timely, relevant information fosters trust, much like LinkedIn's professional content and recommendations, for instance. This trust, in turn, enhances hedonic values where users derive enjoyment and emotional satisfaction from their interactions, as, for instance, Spotify, as it curates personalized playlists using trusted algorithms. Finally, in the social use pathway, access to information supports both utilitarian values and hedonic values. Together, these mechanisms illustrate how the design of social features in digital services can foster connectivity, trust, and enjoyment, and utility as well. The customer orientation and decision-making pathway, in turn, highlights how digital services can align closely with user needs while empowering informed choices. At its core, constructs like access to information and customer orientation play a focal role as a value co-creation mechanism. For example, financial management app offering a real-time and personalized spending insight would allow users to make better budgeting decisions, supporting especially utility-driven goals. Customer participation further enriches this pathway by enabling users to contribute directly to the service process, connecting with both hedonic and utilitarian values. In addition, the decision-making and support construct connects to utilitarian outcomes in particular. Ultimately, this pathway demonstrates how digital services can co-create value, especially in the B2B dimension, by enabling active participation, delivering actionable insights, and supporting user goals, whether they're functional or experiential. The service experience pathway highlights how a well-designed service process can transform user interactions into value-creating experiences. This pathway emphasizes the interplay between access to information and service experience, and how they contribute to both utilitarian and hedonic user goals. For instance, a navigation app like Google Maps offers real-time traffic updates and personalized route suggestions. The service ensures users can achieve their goal, arriving at their destination efficiently, while also reducing stress and frustration. So therefore, this pathway addresses both utilitarian and hedonic needs and values. Furthermore, the context of use pathway focuses on how digital services can help users derive value by adapting to the unique situational and cultural circumstances in which they could be useful. We found a dynamic interplay between the context of use and user goals, both utilitarian and hedonic. So digital services can recognize and respond to users' contextual factors and situational preferences. So those type of services are better equipped to support co-creation. And finally, the customer values and goals pathway lies at the heart of value co-creation in digital service design, highlighting the interplay between the utilitarian and hedonic values and goals. This pathway underscores that digital services must cater to both practical outcome-oriented needs and also experiential hedonic or emotion-driven desires to fully resonate with users. And these two dimensions of value often enhance one another. For example, Duolingo's gamified experience could be considered hedonic, but it keeps users motivated to meet their educational goals as well. And this could be considered a utilitarian driver. Recognizing this potential, digital service designers must create adaptable systems that accommodate diverse and emerging user needs, enabling meaningful value co-creation across both utilitarian and hedonic domains. So, to sum things up, we see that designing digital services with micro-mechanisms of value co-creation should enable the emergence of hedonic and utilitarian outcomes, which are both dynamically interconnected. These outcomes are not something that we can fully orchestrate, as they don't occur in isolation. Instead, they arise naturally from the interplay between user needs, contextual factors, and service design elements. By fostering context-aware and user-driven factors, such as user experience and user orientation and access to information elements, service designers can enable and sustain value co-creation in a shared and evolving process with users.